History shows that since the dawn of man, the way societies form naturally is this. Men will have a religion, the economy will be a free market system, and a leader will rise to power who will protect them and their interests, defend the religion, and administer justice. This form of government is called monarchy, and it is the natural form of government. His successor will be his offspring. Therefore, the head of state going forward will be an accident of birth, rather than the result of self-serving ambition, like a politician. Democracies and republics, on the other hand, must be forced through revolution, causing a massive death toll. Prior to the middle of the 19th century, almost all countries were monarchies. Today, there are virtually none left. Is it a coincidence that the bloodiest century in human history, the 20th century, happens to be the same century the monarchs were overthrown? Yet we are taught in school that these revolutions are glorious things. Give me liberty or give me death. Although the revolutions are fought in the name of liberty, they often turn into dictatorships. Some right away, some over decades, some republics last a few centuries, but history shows that eventually they all collapse or give way to tyranny. Democracy literally means mob rule. The majority of people are selfish and self-serving and will vote for legislation that is best for themselves, even at the expense of everyone else. What's good for the community does not really factor in. Most people realize pure democracy is unworkable, so they opt for representative republics, where each community votes for a representative and the representatives vote on issues. This system, however, attracts those who seek power. These are the type of people who have no moral compass. They will lie, cheat, and steal to get what they want. Not to mention they are for sale. It takes a lot of money to run for office, which means big donations from wealthy people who expect something in return. And yet the problem of democracy is not solved. The representative must keep the voters happy as well. The politician only represents those who vote for him. If 51% of the voters approve of him and 49% do not, he will get elected. So he only actually represents 51% of the voters. This divides people into camps, those for and those against. This is evident in recent cries of, "Not my president." No one ever said, "Not my king or queen." Democracies and republics preach self-rule and equality, but in reality there is still a ruling class. No, not anyone can be president, senator, etc. Only those who come from wealthy families or those who have wealthy contacts who will donate to their campaign in exchange for favors. Ever notice the same last names continually come up in politics? Kennedy, Clinton, Bush, Rockefeller? Think about your own community. There are a few names that keep coming up, aren't there? And if a true outsider is actually elected, they're ran out pretty quickly. There are a few families that actually run things. They allow us to choose from those families, giving us the illusion of control. For those things that the community can't actually vote on, the oligarchy brings the legislation it wants to vote over and over again until it gets passed. Not to mention the masses are easily manipulated through media and popular opinion, so all the elites have to do is make sure that these things reflect their desires. So in reality, not much has changed, except that the people don't have someone who is above the politics, who can make decisions for the good of everyone and protect the common man from the oligarchy. The oligarchy will always be there. All they've done is get rid of the safeguard against them. These revolutions to establish republics were not the common man rising up against the tyranny of a king, as you've been taught. It was the elites rising up against the one person who can keep their power in check. The monarch truly represents everyone and is the embodiment of the culture and national identity. Monarchs are above politics. A politician who has risen to the top has done so through cunning skill and ruthless self-serving ambition. They often feel they deserve where they are because they've earned it. A monarch is an accident of birth and is more likely to be a normal person like you and me, keenly aware they are where they are through nothing they have done, and feel a profound sense of responsibility to their people. In Christian monarchies, which is what I advocate for, it is recognized that the sovereign is merely human, chosen by God to rule, and will be judged by God on how he rules. Whether he goes to heaven or hell largely depends on this. That's not to say there weren't selfish, self-serving kings or duty-filled politicians. We are going by likelihoods. A politician is more likely to be ruthless and a king humble. Monarchs don't have political pressure. They can do what's best for the country, even if it's unpopular, without being thrown out of office. Want to get money out of politics? Get a monarch. What are you going to tempt the man who owns everything with? Are you going to entice him with the coin that bears his very face? It's the difference between owning and renting. Monarchs own the kingdom, and they want to preserve it and pass it down to their descendants, and make decisions accordingly, bringing stability and longevity to the kingdom. Politicians are temporary and get what they can for themselves. They do things that make themselves look good, kicking the problems down the road for the next guy to deal with. But wouldn't a return to monarchy establish a class system where individuals are born into their class? No one is advocating a return to feudalism. That said, as stated before, a class system still emerges in republics and democracies. A ruling class is inevitable in any system. It's part of the human condition. Attempts to get rid of it have resulted in the most repressive societies in history, communism. Monarchy embraces the class system while still recognizing certain human rights. The difference, I believe, is that monarchies embrace religion. Thus, the ruling class believes it will be judged on how they rule. Democracies and republics are typically secular and promote human rights over the rights of God. This eventually devolves into debauchery, societal decay, and collapse. But what about bad kings? What about bad politicians? You might say, well, we can vote them out. Okay, let's go vote out Nancy Pelosi. She is the second most powerful politician in the U.S. and despised by most. But since she was voted in by a handful of people, the vast majority of Americans have no say in it, and we are stuck with her. The reality is, if you live in the U.S., out of the 537 politicians at the federal level, you have a say in 4. The president, 2 senators, and your representative in Congress. That's not to mention all the judges and federal agencies such as the EPA, IRS, FBI, CIA, etc. that you have no say in. This is all part of the illusion of control. Besides, how do you know the person they say won an election actually got the most votes? Do you count the votes? That's an awful lot of trust in the oligarchy. That said, the worst king is better than the worst president, and the best king is better than the best president. I don't have a history degree, but I do study history on my own. Let's just say bad kings don't live long. I think this is because people are aware they have no choice in who the king is. So if a king looks like he's going to be bad, then plots rise against him. Or he may be confronted by all the nobility, such as in the case of King John. If we were to give the powers of the U.S. president to a hereditary monarchy, keeping everything else as it is, the monarch would not be able to get away with half of what U.S. presidents do, because the illusion of choice and trying to wait him out until the next guy is not an option. You wouldn't be able to comfort yourselves with the illusion that the next guy will be better and set things right. So the checks and balances that are in the Constitution would be used, whereas today they really aren't. In other words, people don't just stand around and say, woe is me, I have a bad king. But isn't a monarch the same as a dictator? Actually, a dictator is a politician who ultimately won the game of politics and emerges out of the democratic republic, sometimes over time, when the society becomes weakened, or at the beginning shortly after the revolution for, quote, freedom, which means he is the most ruthless and cunning of all politicians. Since he won, he feels he earned it. Most dictators are associated with the military and thus wish to keep them happy, since they got him where he is and can remove him and set up another. Dictators are secular, if not atheistic, which means they have no moral compass or sense of duty to the people. Dictatorships typically are not hereditary. They name their successor or the party does, or a power struggle happens after his death to see who gets the prize. A Christian monarchy is an accident of birth and a regular person. They feel they were chosen by God and will be judged on how they rule. There is a clear tradition of succession called primogeniture, which usually means firstborn or firstborn male will succeed him. And if he has no children, there is a line of succession that is fixed. Not even the king can change this. So it is a much smoother transition of power. One big difference is Christian monarchies were not absolute. They did not have absolute power. They had a parliament or nobility to deal with. There were a lot of well-established traditions within the kingdom that the king was expected to uphold, and he was raised from birth on how to rule and uphold those traditions. Not to mention, the church could step in at any time and cause problems for him. There were a lot of avenues to push back against a king. A dictator can do whatever he wants. A monarch wants to be loved by his subjects and wishes to keep them happy. A dictator could care less.
But isn't monarchy an outdated form of government? Look at all the progress in technology and medicine we've made under democracy. The advancement in technology and medicine are good things, but a lot, if not most, of these advances are the result of the military war machine that has been active since the revolutionary period began. Again, is it a coincidence that these rapid advances happened in the 20th century, the same century that gave us the highest body count in human history? More humans died as a result of war and revolution in the 20th century than all other centuries combined. The army with the more advanced weapons wins. Military advancement in technology has given us microwave technology, GPS, satellites, etc. Even the things they didn't invent, such as the airplane, the military rapidly advanced. A lot of the medical advances came as a result of the Nazis and their immoral human experiments. Ever heard of Project Paperclip? Look it up. After World War II, the U.S. and Soviets divided up the Nazi scientists and gave them immunity from their war crimes if they agreed to work for them. Hello, rocket technology. It's war and capitalism that gave us these technologies, not democracy and republicanism. The U.S. is not the first democracy or republic. There was Greece, Rome, etc. Why didn't they have these advancements if the system of government is responsible for them? You might say Rome had running water and many other advances that were lost during the Dark Ages. True. Are you going to say Rome was not a war machine? And the advances of Rome are nothing compared to the advances of the 20th century, the bloodiest century in history. What about all the wars and atrocities of the kings of medieval Europe? Monarchy is not perfect. The title of this video is Monarchy is Better, not Monarchy is Perfect. Keep in mind, however, the victor gets to write history. Our world is in the control of the revolutionaries, and they paint monarchy in the worst light possible. Many of the atrocities of kings are exaggerated, like the Spanish Inquisition, or even fabricated, such as the whipping boy. The idea that a peasant boy was taken from his family and punished instead of the prince when the prince misbehaved, that never happened. Of course, atrocities and war happened. But if we were to reduce the history of the U.S. to only its atrocities and wars, it would look much worse in its short 250 years of existence than all of Christendom in its over 1,000 years of existence. The U.S. had slavery. Slavery was non-existent for the majority of Catholic Christendom and repeatedly condemned by the popes. You might say slavery was abolished by the U.S. Yes, but the slave trade was abolished first by the British Crown, setting the events in motion that ended slavery in the West. The U.S. slaughtered the Native Americans. You might say the Spanish Crown also slaughtered the Native Americans. Well, let me ask you, what region of the Americas has the most of the indigenous American population? English Republican North America or Spanish Imperial South America? The answer clearly is South America. So, who slaughtered the Native Americans again? America has repeatedly stabbed their allies in the back, such as the King of France. The French Revolution happened because France was so in debt from helping in the American Revolution. As a thank you, the U.S. sided with the revolutionaries to overthrow the king and establish a republic, resulting in the slaughters of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. The U.S. has instigated wars and played both sides because it was in its national interest, such as the Iran-Iraq War in the 1970s and 80s, again causing the deaths of tens, if not hundreds of thousands. It may seem like I'm picking on the U.S. when it's not the only democracy or republic in existence today, but let's face it, it's the best example of democracy and a republic in existence today, and the only one that seems to be very successful, at least for now. But to be fair, here are some non-American examples. Shortly after World War I, the German Kaiser and the Holy Roman Emperor were forced to resign, giving way for a German republic. Within 2 decades, Hitler rose to power and killed over 10 million people. In 1917, the Russian Tsar and his family were murdered, giving way to the United Soviet Socialist Republic, killing over 20 million people. Let's not forget the killings in China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Mexico, Central and South America, all the results of getting rid of monarchs. Now you might say, wait a minute, most of those aren't real democracies or republics. Well, that's not what they say. And just because they have a one-party system and the United States has a two-party system doesn't mean they operate any different. On the contrary, most of the wars in the Middle Ages happened as a result of barbarians or Mohammedans invading Christian territory, and it was they who were the aggressors, not the Christians. And when war did break out between kingdoms in Christendom, there were rules. This is called chivalry. Chivalry is not just about courting females. That's only a small part of it. It's rules for how a knight is to conduct his life. So war is a huge part of it. It made war more fair and cordial. That's not to say, again, that atrocities didn't happen. Yes, villages were sacked and innocent people died. But it was much better than the guerrilla tactics of the revolutionaries that had a much higher collateral body count. But didn't the revolutions happen because people rose up against the monarchs? In the American Revolution, as in all revolutions, most people did not support the revolution. The revolutionaries were the minority, but a powerful one. They were the richest men in the colonies, and already held positions of power in the colonial governments. Revolutions are groups of elite rising up against their peers to take power from them, not the masses rising up. The masses do not have the money, time, or drive to start a revolution. Not to mention, completely overhauling the political system means uncertainty for them most of all. The reality is, most people do not want revolution. They may want change, but not to discard the entire system. They would rather work within the system to achieve that change, and in most cases, the crown is willing to listen. This was the case in the American, French, and Russian revolutions,
In these cases, the revolutionaries thwarted every attempt by the crown to avoid conflict. They always say they want freedom, but that's not the case. One of the stated reasons for the American Revolution is the Continental Congress's opposition to the Quebec Act of 1774, where King George gave Quebec the right to its language, French, and its religion, Catholic. They feared the crown would do the same in the colonies. The idea that the crown would allow Catholics the freedom to worship openly was so abhorrent to them that they would go to war to stop it. In a great twist of irony, they had to drop their opposition and agree to allow Catholics the freedom to worship in the new republic in order to get the assistance of France in the revolution. The French crown, without whom they could not have won, and whom they quickly turned on a decade later, as mentioned earlier. So in conclusion, monarchy is not perfect, but it is far better than democracy or republicanism. The only reason people don't think so is because of the revolutionist propaganda.